Lord, we thank you for Chris, and we just pray now that you'll speak through him, you bless him. Lord, we just let him speak out of the overflow, Lord, that you've given him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nige. All right. Good morning. Hey, welcome. All right. Who loves their mum? My mum's 88. Hey. Granny Dot. Nearly 90. Nearly 90, aren't you? Yeah. Yeah, wow, wow. Yeah. So did we pray for mums earlier? Did we do that? I popped out. Come on, mums. Let's just stand wherever you are. Hey. And if you're a granny, you're still a mum. Just, yeah. Mums to be, yeah. Mums to be. Oh, no, she's out. Yeah, okay, all right. And maybe there's one or two who don't want to let on. You never know. So, but Lord, we thank you for this incredible gift of motherhood. And Lord, all that it is. And we just think about pictures of Jesus, that Jesus used, of the mother hen gathering her chicks and wanting to shelter and to shield and provide this warm place and this place of belonging. And so, God, we thank you for this incredible gift. Father, I just pray in these moments, Lord, for those where motherhood has been a difficult thing, Lord, and where there's been brokenness, God, that you would just come and release healing and restoration now, Lord. And for those, if you've had any struggle in this area at all, then I just want you to know that, when we weep, he weeps. Yeah, and he feels those issues. But Lord, at the same time, we want to celebrate and thank you for all that motherhood is to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do take your seats. Bless you. Yay. Right. So God is good all the time. Yeah. All right. I just want to say, what's already been said about the barbecue and Messy Church yesterday. Just a wonderful day. Wonderful, wonderful day. To see over 60 kids in here and the chaos and the mess and all of that. But the connections and the way in which, quite a number had encounters with God and ministry was taking place and conversations that are happening and people come into an atmosphere. I mean, how many of us realize that when people come in for the first time, one of the things that they encounter is the atmosphere of the presence of God, and they step into it. And I remember probably nearly 10 years ago when we went to an event at a stadium, and as we walked through the doors, literally you walked into this wall of the manifest presence of God. It was like, you could feel it here, but when you actually stepped in, something happened to you, and you were just overwhelmed and clothed by this tangible sense of the presence of God. And so lots of the mums and dads who come and the kids, they don't understand it, and they can't quite join the dots, but it's very real. And so just great. And Phil and Pam and Chris and Karen, I noticed you nearly got a round of applause, because Nigel challenged us to give a round of applause to everybody who walked in at 11:30. You thought you'd snuck in okay, didn't you? How many know that when they took the offering up, Jesus was watching what went in? He's watching. There you go. All right. But Chris and Karen, just fantastic job. And Karen, I should not hear this morning, but all you guys who serve, and Pam and Frieda and Roz, and, you know, praying with people yesterday, just brilliant. Okay, absolutely brilliant, and well done. And for all of us, there's room there somewhere, isn't there? All right. Okay. All right, well, we're coming up towards the end of this focus on walking by the Holy Spirit. And as has already been said, I was due to speak next Sunday, so I'm kind of just trying to tie up some ends of this season before the season is finished. So just forgive me that for the moment. Walking in the Holy Spirit is just such an important and immense kind of subject. Who knows that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but he's a person, okay? And and this whole realm for me, how many have struggled with the kind of sense of mystery around the person of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, because it's, you know, when we talk about the God the Father, that makes sense to us. And when we talk about the Son, Jesus came and he lived for 33 years, as a human being, 100% God, but 100% human as well. And that, in the mystery of that, it still makes sense. But when we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's not Mr. H. Spirit, right? I mean, why didn't he have a name? I mean, why didn't he call him Pete or Fred or something, you know, just something that makes sense to us? But he's called Holy Spirit. The word "the" doesn't exist in the Greek. That's put in by the translators to make it sensible in English. But Holy Spirit, he's a person. When you gave your life to Christ, right, in your conversion experience, at least this was true for me, it was true for the Apostle Paul, in that moment when you accepted the Lordship of Christ and the salvation that is made available to us through what Jesus did on the cross, when you said, "Yes, Lord," something changed inside. And for me, it was very, very tangible. I couldn't define it, I couldn't explain it, but I knew something profound had changed. Now, I'd come out of darkness and into light. I understand that now. I didn't have language for that then. I knew that God, I was just telling somebody yesterday that throughout that, there was like a week when I felt the spotlight of heaven. It was, you know, the way I picture it now is, you know, the Mr. Bean spotlight, you know, that shines down on the cobbled street, and then a Mr. Bean just kind of drops into it. Well, I don't feel like I dropped into it, but I just felt this spotlight was on me, and it was like, you know, maybe it was darkness all around, but I knew the spotlight of heaven, that God was able to pick me out from 6 billion people, or 7 billion, however many it is, and talk directly to me. It was just the most incredible reality that I had never comprehended before that moment at the age of 17, and so I knew this intensity and the individuality of this relationship, that God is able to talk to me, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit who came when I said yes to him. It says that the Holy Spirit came as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Yeah? It began. The Holy Spirit himself came and took up residence with me, with my spirit. Okay, so let me ask you, where is your spirit? Did you leave it at home this morning? Right? Did you put it through the washing machine with your mobile phone like Roz did last week? Okay. She got a new phone out of it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I got the bill. no, I didn't. She paid for it. All right. Where is your spirit? Well, that's a good answer. All right. Come on. It's there. But it's one of those things you can't quite define. Your spirit, it's not your mind. It's not your intellect. It's not your... it's not about your will. It's not even about your emotions. Okay? All of that is your soul. Okay? But your spirit is such an integral part of who you are. When man fell from the place that he had in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned and he fell and he became less, and then he's banished from the garden, and it was in the Garden of Eden that he had this face to face encounter with God every day, and now he no longer has that. And from that moment, his spirit remained within him, but to all intents and purposes, it's so dull that it just doesn't function properly. And it's when you come to Christ, and that's the condition of humanity. So it's really difficult in modern cultures to comprehend the place of the spirit in our lives, the place of the human spirit. But when you come to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence within you, and he comes and he lives with your spirit, and your spirit now comes to life again. Amen. Amen. And for me, when I think back to that day, 42 years ago, it was, oh no, I don't look that old, do I? It's not possible. But when the Holy Spirit came and took up residence, I knew something profound had happened. Okay. The Holy Spirit himself lives with my spirit and with yours. If you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, if you said, yes, I want to walk with you, I've turned away from my sin. I've chosen to repent of sin. Any grumblers? Who put their hands up? Repent. You do not need to grumble. Right? Turn away from your grumbling. Right? Did you know? So here's no extra charge for this. But grumbling is one of those sins that's listed with things that we would call, we would think grumbling is not much of an issue, really. Well, I shouldn't do it. It's a bit like breaking the speed limit. But so long as I'm not doing 100 up the motorway, we think it's okay. But actually, grumbling is listed. You look at the other things that are listed with grumbling. Right? Yeah? Anyway, all right. Didn't mean to go there. But it's just good sometimes. And I've got the microphone. So, now I've lost my track. That's your fault, Nigel. No, it's not. It's my fault. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. And we have to develop and grow the relationship with him. All right. We've throughout these recent months, we have talked about three different sets of gifts, okay? Ministries and gifts, all right? We've talked about the Ephesians 4 ministry gifts, yeah? I forgive you, I apologize. I had worked on a PowerPoint last night just to get this up so I could do it really quickly. And however, I discovered that I don't get on very well with PowerPoint. And it has just disappeared from my computer this morning. So and it wasn't finished anyway. So, but there are three different sets of gifts. And it's important that we understand the difference between the three different sets. So, number one, Ephesians 4, 11, often referred to as the ascension gifts. They're given by Christ, and it involves knowing that you are called to these, and that this needs to be recognized in the body of Christ. Okay, and there are five of them: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Okay, I am a pastor. It's not a job title. That's the ministry that I have. I believe in, that I am called to be a pastor in this sense. And one of the things that you find is that, you know, I loved just being around men and women who are called to ministry and are functioning in their call and in their anointing. And throughout my life, I've loved just being in those contexts. And I realize that there are people who, you know, when they sit and talk to me, something happens because of the ministry and the gift that I am and that God has given me. But not everybody is called to Ephesians 4 ministry in that sense. But we need to be able to recognize them, embrace them, and allow that these gifts to profoundly affect our lives. Their purpose is to equip the church for the purpose of service and ministry, to develop maturity and lead people into truth. Okay, all of those ministries have that function. So the second group are the Romans 12 gifts. I think it's Romans 12:5. These gifts are set within your personality. Okay, we all have all of them. We tend to excel in one or two of them. They are they're called prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, and mercy. And all of us have all of them. They are part of the makeup of who you are. It's not an exhaustive list, but these are the ones that Paul focuses on in that context. And everyone is a blend of these, as I've already said. So, but wherever, if you see that you're weak in any of those levels, you can work on it, okay, and increase the measure of the gift that you have. And understanding who you are and what God has called you to involves understanding this set of gifts. Then the third set are the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And in my young Christian life, it was a time when, until the 1960s, 1970s, it was only the Pentecostal churches that had really embraced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But in the 60s and 70s and 80s, much of the rest of the church in the Western world began to rediscover the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And the thing about the gifts of the Spirit is that they're not gifts in the sense of it's a package that you get and you unwrap and so on. These are manifestations of the person of the Holy Spirit working in and through a believer's life. So when you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in you. Every day, you need to be talking to the Holy Spirit. And you need to be inviting him and saying, Lord, come and fill me again. You're meant to live overflowing, effervescing with the Holy Spirit. You have to deal with the sin issues, the negative issues of your life, because they get in the way and they can suppress. And you've heard us talk many times. A few weeks ago, Keith spoke on this about. You have to want the Holy Spirit. You have to hunger for him. You have to be willing to continually say yes to him. You have to choose to listen to what he's got to say to you. Paul said, don't quench the Spirit's fire. Don't put out his fire. Well, you do that by ignoring him and saying no to him. All right? Then, you know, the obvious things of sinfulness that get in the way and damage your relationship with him, and to the point where you end up so dulling yourself that you don't sense his presence and his love and what have you. And you know, if you're trapped in any kind of recurrent sin or anything like that, you need, and come and talk to us, all right? Because we want to help you. We want you to live free and live able to pursue the purposes of God for your life without any restriction. All right. If you've been anybody been trapped in recurrent sin, I have for long periods of my life. So don't allow the enemy to bring condemnation upon you whenever we talk about these things. All right, remind yourself, I am forgiven. Yeah, allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to your heart, but don't allow the enemy to bring condemnation. And often you'll find that the enemy will just ride in on the back when the Holy Spirit is wanting to just say, hey, come on, Chris, let's deal with this. And the enemy will then want to just come and ride in and turn that into condemnation if he can. And then we end up not going any further. All right? But the gifts of the Spirit are manifestations of his work. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Period. Okay? But it's down to how you relate to him and how you live your life. As to how full you live and how aware of his leading, his direction in your life that you are. You make choices about that. Amen? You've gone very quiet on me. Honestly, this is good news. All right? Don't go start thinking about all the, oh goodness, I did this and I said that and da 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 da, and how you know, that's the enemy, right? Shove that off over there somewhere, and turn away from it, and say, actually, I love the Holy Spirit. It's one of the things that John Arnott so exemplified. For the last 20 years, the love of the Holy Spirit, the desire, the willingness to yield to everything that he wanted to do and say, yeah. And that's where the modern church is wanting to live, isn't it? That's what I think. I think the whole of B1, every one of us, wants to give place, primary place, to the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so. Nine gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned there, you can read through them, and those gifts of the Spirit exist as tools that are available to us, that he wants to give us all the time, right? And we need to hunger for them and want them and say, yeah, I want to see this happening, right? So when you've got somebody who's sick. And I present to you Keith, who was sick. So when you've got somebody who's not well in front of you, what are you looking for? Help. Yeah, I would look for that too. Well, what you may not be looking for a prophetic word in that moment, but I would still be listening. You may not need a word of knowledge, but I would still be listening. All right? It might not be a time to think about the discernment of spirits, but I would still be listening. Okay? But what he really wants is a gift of healing. Yeah? And all of these gifts, all of these things exist within the person of the Holy Spirit who is available to us all the time and is filling us and overflowing. So I'm stepping forwards. I'm not thinking, okay, Keith's a bit of a dodgy character, bit of an iffy elder, and maybe he hasn't read his Bible properly this week, and you know what? And he challenged me. You know what he said to me last week? Would you believe that? You know? I didn't feel good after that. No, I'm not going anywhere near that. It is the will of God for him to be healed. Amen. Therefore, we step up and we pray out of that place, expecting that that the Holy Spirit will release a gift of healing that will touch him in the core of his being, wherever he absolutely needs it. Amen? Yeah. But this is just normal, okay? When you've got somebody in front of you who's not doing great in life, all right? But weighed down by the responsibilities and, he's had a difficult upbringing and, his dad wasn't great and and he just needs encouragement. He needs somebody to a shoulder to cry on and some comforting words. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? He is the comforter. And he speaks words of life and comfort and in that moment, it may not be that I'll come out with "Thus saith the Lord," Matthew, you plonker. right, but just in the conversation, words of life come. A prophetic word, prophetic word does not need to be in a formal context. It can come in the course of a conversation. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, they can just flow into that, into whatever the space is. And I'm looking for that all the time. All right, I'm not screwing my face. Oh God, please. I'm not going at it that way. It's he lives in me, and I aim to live full, not just full, but overflowing. So before we came down to the barbecue yesterday, after I told Leo off for writing all over our new floor in Biro, and got him scrubbing it off. it's good, isn't it? You create a mess, you get to clean it up. but I'm saying, Lord, just fill me. Who do you want me to talk to today? I carry it within my being. You're here, and you are full of life, and you want to bring life to everybody here. And so, Lord, just show me. So I'm just yielding, and I'm doing that while I'm tidying the things away and getting ready. I'm not necessarily sat down for 20 minutes doing that. But this is walking in the Spirit. It's just that life, living in relation to the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit exist within the person of the Holy Spirit. They're not yours. They don't belong to you. Actually, I would like a drop more. Thank you. It's a good job I love her. I do, actually, more than I can express. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they live within the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Right? Your personality gifts, they are yours. They're given to you. They exist within you. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit exist within the person of the Holy Spirit. So don't ever say that that you don't have this gift or that gift in terms of the gifts of the Spirit. They're all available to you, all of us, all of the time. Okay. 30 years ago, I think probably more than 30 years ago, the captain of a cargo ship who was used to going up the river to the port of Portland in Oregon, on the west side, northwest side of the United States. This Portland is, I think, something like 20 or 30 miles inland. It's considerable distance inland up the river. And the river isn't deep. It's full of sandbanks that constantly shift and move around. And on this occasion, this particular captain thought, it's less than 2 weeks since I was here before. I don't need to employ the services of a pilot. Who understands about pilots? You know, when a ship nears port, or then they radio for a pilot who comes out in a little boat and climbs up the ladder, and he stands on the bridge with the captain, not telling the captain what he must do, but advising him what he should do. Okay? So the ship, the responsibility for the ship always remains with the captain. So in your ship, if you picture your life as a ship, who's responsible for you? Right. You are. Okay? But the Holy Spirit comes to live with us, and he stands on the bridge alongside you, whispering in your ear, advice, help, things for you to say when you're talking to somebody, ministering to somebody, or with your family. It's not just, you know, don't reduce the gifts of the Spirit to ministry opportunities. Okay? It's every facet of your life he wants to be involved in. So on this occasion, this captain was nearing the river mouth, and just thought, the services of a captain are expensive, of a pilot are really expensive. I know how to navigate up here. I was here less than 2 weeks ago. I won't bother. And he managed to put his ship through a four-lane highway. And so you didn't see it on the news recently, but he actually did it because he thought he could do it on his own because he'd done it before. And but he didn't know the impact of the currents and the speed at which sandbanks and bars and all of this could happen. All right? Getting the picture? Right? Why do we talk so much about listening? Learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learning to identify his voice and to live from the voice. Okay? The Word of God gives you the broad parameters, and it's the foundation, and the Holy Spirit will never take you beyond that. But applying it specifically in every little situation, and it's very easy because we did it this way before and it worked, to go right back there, and then this time it doesn't work. Or this time, maybe not even it doesn't work, gets you into real trouble. We have to listen to him and embrace him as a person. Amen? And see, living in the Spirit is really very simple. It's being hungry for him. It's valuing what he has to say to us. It's tuning our ear to him. It's avoiding the things that would grieve him. Yeah? Let's stand together. Okay. Hey. So, just in these moments, why don't you close your eyes and just commune with the Holy Spirit? If you're if you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, then just do this. If you haven't, then invite him. Say, Lord, would you talk to me? Would you speak to my heart in these moments? But let's just talk to him. Say, Lord, just tell him, Lord, thank you for coming and living with me. Lord, I want to be more aware of your presence and your activity in my life. Lord, I want to yield my heart to to whatever you're wanting to do in every situation, in every relationship that I have, in every role in life that I have, in my family life, my professional life, my work life, my educational life, my church life, in whatever it is, my leisure life. Lord, I want to listen to you and be aware that you're there. And you're there as that pilot on the bridge, just speaking in, giving me advice, helping me, undergirding me, comforting me, securing me. So Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We love your presence. We love the way that you come. We love the way that you reach into our hearts and lives. We love the way that that you bring the power of the cross to the core of our beings. We love the way that you remind us of everything that Jesus said and did. We love the way that you apply truth to our hearts and lives. Lord, we love the way that you instruct us and teach us and show us and shine light upon our paths. Lord, we love you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming and living with men and women such as us. And Lord, in these moments, we want to just ask you that you would come and fill us again.